nothing unusual was going to take place. It was just time to go to youth group on Sunday night. And I walked into the room and discovered that the young adults that led our youth program on Sunday night were sitting there, but instead of being out and ready to greet us and bring us in, they were there with tears in their eyes and sad, sad faces. And that night, instead of the lesson that we were supposed to have, they set all of that aside and just began to talk to our group of teenagers about one of their high school classmates who had just passed away the week before. Cancer had claimed him while he was a student in New Orleans Seminary. They described this young man and they talked about what a powerful influence he had had over their high school and over his friends and the people who knew him, about how his walk for Christ was such a vibrant thing and how bold he was in his faith and how much he cared about people and what an incredible influence he had been on everybody around him. So much so that when he shared with his home church that God had called him to the ministry, nobody was surprised. They thought, well, what else would you do with your life? You are one of those people God is going to use in an incredible way. So he went away to college, and after college, he and his wife and his new baby daughter made their way to the seminary, and he began to study. He was there about a year when he began to recognize that he was awfully weak. And he went to the doctor, and the doctors performed a series of tests and came back to tell him that he was dealing with a malignancy that was incurable. It was going to take his life away. All his friends asked the same question: how could God allow somebody with so much influence and so much potential to die at such a young age? And then they shared this with us. They shared that as the end drew near, he was talking with his wife and he said, "I hate the idea of leaving you. I cannot stand the idea that I'm not going to be here to watch our little girl grow up. But if somebody's life is changed for Christ because of what I've had to endure, it's worth it." That one sentence rocked my world. I had never heard of anybody with that kind of faith in God. Not only that, I knew that God was talking directly to me about my own faith. I had been saved as a child. A few months before that, I had very reluctantly surrendered to a call to preach. But I had never experienced that kind of faith in my life. That night became a pivotal moment in my life. Understand something. Not everybody has a Damascus Road kind of experience where God just reaches in and turns your life upside down all at once. But that night was one of those experiences in my own life. It so much so that I would tell you that the young man that walked into the church that night was not the person who left later. I was a completely different person because I encountered the love of God in a way that I had never heard of before. And the Lord turned me into, well, what I have been today, a completely different person. And it never changed. All because of one sentence that led me to an encounter with God's love like I had never known. Beginning this morning, I'm going to preach some power passages from the Old Testament. A few months ago, you may remember I preached some power passages from the New Testament. Now I'm going to talk about the Old Testament, but I'm going to do it in a different kind of a way. I'm going to choose several figures out of the Old Testament that God used in amazing ways. But what I want to do is Sunday by Sunday, I want to go to these people that God used in powerful ways and lead us together to that single sentence that changed their lives. That encounter with the Lord that transformed everything. So week by week, what we're going to do is discover that there are times in a lot of people's lives when God comes in and God says something or God does something, and because of that, everything is different from that day forward. And this morning, I want to begin with the life of Abraham, who heard the Lord say, "Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land I will show you." And that is the sentence that defined his life. Hearing that call changed the complete direction of Abraham's future. His life is a model of a person whose life was defined by trust in God. And trust is critical because the Lord always shows himself faithful in the lives of those who actively depend upon him. You can trust me. So follow me. And Abraham is a model of active trust. It's no accident that Genesis 15:6 says about Abraham, he believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. That passage is so important that it is repeated. It's in Romans 4:3, it's in Galatians 3:6, it's in James 2:23. The Bible again and again and again says, Abraham trusted God. It was the defining characteristic of his life. And this morning, I want to remind you of three times when God expanded Abraham's ability to trust him in all things, because that's what God is calling you and I to do as well. He is calling us to trust in the Lord. So let's look together at the life of this man who heard God say to him, it's time to go. You get up, you leave your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. The first time the Lord encountered Abraham, he challenged Abraham to walk to the end of everything he knew and keep walking. Go to the end of everything you understand and all that you can see and keep walking into an unknown future. It happened when Abraham was living at the land of Haran. The Bible says Abraham was 75 years old. That's about middle-aged in his time. And Abraham had made a good life for himself in Haran. He was successful. He was surrounded by family and by friends. He had every reason in the world to be contented. I am where I belong. I'm around the people that I care about. I'm very comfortable in where I live. This is where I just need to spend the rest of my life. And that's when the Lord spoke to him and told him it was time to get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. And that call defined Abraham for the rest of his life. You see, God didn't tell Abraham to be obedient in something. He called him to be obedient in everything. When he said to Abraham, time to get up, time to go, I'll show you what's coming next, what he was saying was, Abraham, are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to trust me with today? Are you willing to trust me with tomorrow? Are you willing to trust me with forever? Are you willing to trust me whatever may come? Wherever I may lead you and whoever you may encounter and whatever you may be called to do, are you willing to trust me? You see, God had an incredible future planned for Abraham, but claiming that future required him to step out and follow wherever God led. He would have to leave everything that was familiar and step out in faith. Not only that, he was going to have to trust God without knowing where he was going. He was to walk to the end of all of the light he had and then keep walking as God led him. All he had was God's promise. God said, "I will show you. You go to this place, I will show you where to go." Understand something. What God said to Abraham was this: "I will show you, not I have shown you." So many times when we are called to a life of trust, when we are called to actively have faith in God, what we want to say is this: "Lord, you show me what you have in mind, and then I'll follow you. You reveal to me what you have planned, and then I'll decide whether I want to do it or not." But God didn't make that kind of deal with Abraham. He said, "Abraham, pick up your stakes, pack up your family and everything you have, and let's go." "Well, where are we going, Lord?" "I'll show you as you go. Until you trust me, I'm not going to show you what's coming next." You have to make the decision to trust on the front end of things and not on the back end. You have to decide, "Lord, if you reveal it, I'll do it." He was to walk and walk and walk as God revealed himself. In other words, God called Abraham to a life of going without knowing. Isn't that good to hear? Going without knowing, because that's what God calls us to do. We step out in faith and trust him. God doesn't show you and then call you. He calls you and then he shows you what he has in mind. Here's the interesting thing. When you read that passage in Genesis, what you discover is God didn't offer Abraham a destination. Instead, he made a promise to him. He didn't say, "Abraham, pack up, get everything and go. Let me tell you where we're going. I'm going to call that place the Promised Land. Someday you'll be there and your descendants will be there. And for thousands of years, that is going to be the home of your people." He didn't say that. You know what he said? He said, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing." I love that last phrase. "And you will be a blessing." You go where I'm leading you. You follow the destination. And I promise you this: wherever you go, you're going to bless people. Wherever you go, you're going to carry the presence of God. Wherever you go, people are going to be transformed by the faithfulness of your testimony. Now go. "Lord, I still don't know where we're going." And you don't have to know. Just go. Abraham had to choose. "I will trust the Lord." That's the basic decision that all of us have to make. "I will trust the Lord." It's the decision that leads to salvation. "I will trust Jesus Christ to be the Savior of my soul." It's the decision that guides real spiritual growth. "I will trust the Lord as he leads me and guides me and disciples me and challenges me and leads me into difficult places and shows me his faithfulness, and I will depend upon him day by day, step by step. I will trust him." It's a decision that opens the door to being used by God. "I will trust him" means he has a dynamic plan for your life. You will be blessed and you will be a blessing. God may take you to places you never dreamed of going. He may use you in ways you can't imagine, but you have to trust him and step out And Abraham made his decision. Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. He trusted the Lord, and he never looked back. His life would never be the same. He would trust God step by step into the unknown as the Lord led him. Not only that, Genesis tells us that Abraham trusted God even when the path ahead was not easy to see. It began with God's promise, "To your descendants I will give this land." And Abraham stepped out in trust, but for years he couldn't see the fulfillment of God's promise. He packed everything up. He followed God's leadership. He wandered across wherever God told him to go. But as the years went by, he kept saying to himself, "But what is this all about? Why is God leading me to this place? God's made me this promise, and this promise is that my descendants are going to be a great nation, but look at us. Sarah's getting old. I'm getting older. Nothing's happening. We have no descendants. What in the world is God up to?" And so he went to the Lord and he simply said, "God, this doesn't make sense. I trust you, but I can't see the evidence. I trust you, but I can't see this plan that you tell me you're working out in my life. What do I do next?" And I want you to see how God responded. The Lord didn't answer Abraham's questions. He just doubled down on his promises. He took Abraham outside and he said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. So shall your descendants be." Abraham's question was, "God, how in the world am I going to have descendants when I don't even have a child?" And God said, "Look at the stars. You're going to have more descendants than there are stars in the sky." His answer continued to be, "Abraham, trust me. Trust me." So Abraham responded. He believed the Lord, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Abraham learned a great lesson that night. When you trust God's promises, you also have to trust God's timing. Boy, that's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard sometimes to trust God's timing, especially when we are so good at planning things out. Well, first I'll be here, and then I'll be here, and then I'll be there, and when I accomplish this, then this will happen, and then down the road this will happen, and before long I'll be at the end of the road, and God will have followed my timing all the way through. Except the Lord doesn't work that way. You have to trust His timing. You know, I have told folks for years, if I ever wrote my autobiography of ministry, the title of my book would be, "You Don't Want to Go There." Because I've heard that about every church that I've served. You don't want to go there. You won't be there very long. You don't want to go there. They won't listen to you. You don't want to go there. That's a terrible situation. You don't want to go there. And you know what I found out? Over the course of my pastoral years, 15 years at one, 11 at the next, working toward 12 here at First Baptist, unless you people wise up, which could happen. God's timing had nothing to do with my timing. And I should say this, and everywhere I've been, this be the subtitle of my book, and everywhere I've been has been a blessing. Everywhere I've been, God was there waiting so that we could move forward with Him. God's timing is never the same as our timing, but it's always right. Sometimes it's hard to trust God when you have to wait and see what He's up to. We like instant responses and easy answers. Lord, just make it simple for me. But faith only becomes faith when you have to trust God's timing, no matter what. I will trust the Lord. Abraham reminds you that for lasting change to happen, it has to be in his time. Sometimes you may have to wait a long time. Sometimes what he does may be an instant thing. It's really not up to you. It's all up to him. God will do what God wants to do when God wants to do it. Sometimes roots have to grow deep and leaves have to spring forth, and when the time is right, then the fruit will come. Like Abraham, we need to remember you never get discouraged when you trust the Lord, because you're never out of his sight and his plans never run out, and he always keeps his promises. But remember this, even when you're in the wilderness, he is preparing a promised land. Even when you find that you're having to wait, God's at work. And then came the time when God challenged Abraham's trust to the limit. You know what I'm talking about. Mount Moriah. What a horrible, horrible name. God, in his time, gave Abraham a son. His name was Isaac. He was the son of promise. He grew into a boy, and every day Abraham looked at him and wondered at God's grace. I had to wait till I was 100 years old to see this boy, but it was worth the wait. And then one day, out of nowhere, the Lord called to him and he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of my mountains, one of the mountains which I shall tell you. I gave you your son. He's the blessing. It's where the descendants are coming from, except take this little boy and sacrifice him. How could God ask for something like that? Isaac was not just Abraham's beloved son. He was the fulfillment of God's promise. How could God take Isaac away? How could he take it all? Even more, how could God ask Abraham to be the one that's used to make that kind of sacrifice? Can I be honest with you? If the Lord came to me one day and said, Jim, you can take anything out of the Bible you want to take out, pick one. That's the one. I would take that story out if I could. But you can't. I don't know how Abraham did it, but when morning came, he loaded a donkey with the wood for the sacrifice and took his son and began that journey up on Mount Moriah. Isaac had no idea what his father was about. As they made their way up the mountain to fulfill that command, he asked a question. It'd break your heart today. Father, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham's answer proved that he was going to trust God to the bitter end. He said, my son, God will provide. Surely God was going to intervene. Surely Isaac would not have to die. But they got to the top of the mountain, and God was silent. The Lord waited to speak until Abraham had built the altar and bound his son and lifted the knife. And then heaven spoke, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Sometimes God will put you in situations where you have to trust Him unconditionally. Nothing held back. That's where you learn that you can trust Him, whatever may come. God did lead Abraham to a ram for the sacrifice. That's important to know because we need to understand God always had a plan to provide. He always does. By the time Abraham and Isaac came down from the mountain together, they both knew God always keeps His promises. And for the rest of his life, Abraham understood what God had been teaching him through his whole life. God's plan is never about a destination where you arrive. God's plan is about trusting Him for a lifetime, no matter what. And that's the lesson that He wants us to learn today. Sometimes God speaks to you. Get up. Follow me. Leave behind everything you expected to happen and trust me. And I will keep my promises. But you have to follow. And maybe this morning that's exactly the word you need to hear in your own life. Maybe you're here and you don't know the Lord, not as your personal Savior. Oh, you know a lot about Him and you've heard the stories and you believe they're true. But there's never come that time when the Lord said, "Trust me. I have become your Savior. I gave my life. I rose again. I went to heaven. I'm speaking to you through my Holy Spirit. Today is the day when I want you to become a Christian. Trust me." If that's what He's saying to you today, then in a minute when we stand to sing our invitation hymn, I'll be right here and you come and say, "God is speaking to me. It's time for me to trust Jesus." Or maybe you're here and you're recognizing that God is speaking to you about this particular time in your particular life. Maybe there's something very special that He's talking to you about. Maybe you understand what it was like for Abraham when God said, "Get up and go, you follow." And you're ready to trust and follow all the way. Maybe God's leading you to this place at this time to be part of what God is doing in this fellowship. What does it mean to follow God? That's the question for today. What does it mean in your life to follow? Whatever it takes, I challenge you, let this be that day. Let's stand together. Let's sing our invitation.
Jesus, I come to Thee.
Let me ask you to be seated again just for a minute. Soren, come join me up here. Many of you have gotten to meet Soren Martin in the last couple of months as he's been part of our worship fellowship for some time. And we had a great time together about a week ago, getting to share a meal, talk together about faith and about membership and about what God's doing in his life. Soren right now is a law student at Cumberland Law School and just feels like God's calling him to plant his membership here at First Baptist and to serve God through this place. And we're excited that God has done that. Some of us more than others, Amanda, you think? That, never mind. I've said more than I should have. Denise said, we already knew that. Soren, we're so glad you're here to be part of our church family and understand something. But that's not what brought him here. What brought him here was this is where the Lord's led him to be. And this fellowship means a lot to him. And this is a place where he can serve and worship God and live according to his word. And we're so grateful for that. So, Soren, welcome. If you want to welcome him, you let him know by saying amen.
Amen.
And that's the church saying, welcome. We're glad you're part of our fellowship.
Good to be here.
And I'm going to ask Judith to help you. He's going to go back to the lobby and stand out there where you can find him and greet him and let him know how glad you are God's brought him to this place. So, Soren, you go with Judith. And let's all stand together again. You make sure you go by and welcome him to our church fellowship. And so we'll pray, and then one final song, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we do thank you for Soren. We thank you, Lord, for the walk he's had with the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for his serious openness to God's guidance and leadership in his life. And Father, we just want to pray that you bless him as he becomes part of our church fellowship, that, Lord, you use him to serve and to be served, and that, Lord, together we might thank and bless you. Lord, we pray that you keep your hand on him and on this fellowship. Help us, Lord, to be the people you've called us to be. As you lead the way, Lord, help us to always be ready to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.